Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. You know, you must understand that for me as a pastor, and especially the kind of pastor that I am, this is an encounter service. So this message tonight is a message not only for you, but a message very much for me. And what I mean by that is that we have to be a people that always desire the truth of God's word, number one. We need to be a people that always desire a balance, because there is a balance. There is an order in the kingdom. And so we need to walk in that perfect divine order of God. You see, the thing is that when we come to worship very often, when we come to church, part of a church service is worship. And this can go beyond just worship at the church. This can go into worship even at your home. How many of you worship God, and when you do, you can't wait for goosebumps? How many of you worship God and you just enjoy the experience of it? I know I do. I love that worship experience. You see, and many of us go with that expectation. In fact, worship experience has become a very popular phrase in church today. And the truth is that the reason why we come together to worship? Is that the real reason why we come together to worship? And I saw something in Scripture that really shocked me, and because it's something that It's something that I've seen so many times, but never put the two together. And tonight I want to put this together and ask the Holy Spirit to really show us. And I'm going to be reading tonight. Actually, just want to put this out there. There's a translation called the CSB, which is a phenomenal translation. I'll be reading a lot from that tonight and tomorrow. So let's go to John 4, verse number 10. We're talking about the woman at the well. And for those of you that know the story of the woman at the well, Jesus is having this encounter with the woman at the well, and the discussion is actually about worship. Part of this discussion is, where are we supposed to worship? On this mountain? Our forefathers say on this mountain, your forefathers say that it's in Jerusalem. And so Jesus comes back and he says this to her. He says in John 4 verse 10, he says, Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. And Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. And I love this because it's a picture. Now remember, the context is talking about worship. They were having a discussion about worship. And the Bible teaches us that we need to be a people that have a posture of being thirsty. One of the things that I believe thirst represents is coming into the presence of God with this desire, a thirsty desire for the presence of God. And I think that's a healthy thing. I think we should have that desire. We should never come to church and not expect God to move or for God to do something, because that's what He does. Are you with me? So we can see clearly from Scripture, and we'll see even more as we go on this evening, that thirst, that having a thirst is like coming to God when you have a desire for His presence. And this woman's saying, listen, I don't know, you say we can't worship here and we can't worship there. And he says, listen, the hour has come. And he speaks about the true worshipers, and he tells her about this living water that you're going to get, and basically says to her that you'll never thirst again. And this is a really powerful picture. Let's have a look at another incident in John 7 verse 37, where Jesus again talks about this water, this living water. It says this, John 7, 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And there's no question about it, guys. When you go into the presence of God and you begin to seek him and you begin to worship him, you begin to pray, it's really like the thirst that's in you just gets filled. It's like he comes and he fills you with this living water. You know, last night I had this burning desire to pray for the troops, and I went online and I began to pray. And I tell you, the presence of God was so strong because of the burden that I felt, and I could feel people coming on and connecting and praying with me, and it was so awesome. And we were interceding, and when you press into the presence, that's what he does. He responds. He often responds by giving us his presence. It's a beautiful picture of what happens when we go to God and we begin to seek him and we begin to desire to worship him. All of this is good. Are you with me? So coming to God and worshiping him and having that desire is not bad in any way whatsoever. But what often happens to us is we come and we have this ideology of, you know, it wasn't so good today. You know, it wasn't so anointed today, the worship. I want to ask you a question. Since when was worship for you? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you the one who judges the worship? Or are we worshiping God? Is he not the one who responds to the worship? Is he not the reason why we're worshiping? But we get so caught up in our feelings and our desire for encounter. Nothing wrong with that. I want it desperately, more than all of you, okay? But I want you to understand that that should never take away from why we're worshiping God. That should never take away from our desire to worship God. And so take a look at what it says in Psalm 95, verse number 6. This is so powerful. It says, come, let us worship and bow down. And this is a beautiful picture of worship. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, and then it's going to go on, I want to go, but I just want to just talk a little bit about verse 6 and 7. He says, let us worship and bow down. Let us come before him. And it paints a picture of recognizing that God is our Lord and our Maker. We see in verse number 7 that we are his people and that he is our shepherd. He takes care of us because we are his sheep under his care. I don't know about you, but just that right there is more than enough reason for me to always raise my hands, for me to always bow my knee, for me to always, and even if I'm not doing it in the natural, I'm just, my posture is always ready to worship God. I find it difficult to even ask God something without worshiping him. I just want to worship him, because when I'm worshiping him, it's like the most powerful form to me of faith. As I begin to worship him, it expresses everything I believe in. It expresses everything I am. And it is an incredible form of absolute humility, coming before God and fully surrendering and beginning to worship him. But take a look at what it says. He says, let's read 7 again. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness. Now watch what he says. Where your ancestors tested me, they tried me, though they had seen what I did. And I love this because it's a picture again where God says, listen, these people, these children of Israel, they tested me. Don't be like them. Don't harden your heart like they did. And then he finishes off by saying, though they had seen what I did. Maybe we need to go and have a look at what took place in the story so we can see what it is that the Israelites did that upset the Lord. In the beginning of the scripture, we can see, in the beginning of the psalm, we can see a picture of what worship is supposed to look like. To our shepherd, to our master, to our maker, to our Lord. And then he ends off by saying, don't let your hearts get hard. And then he tells us about where this happened in the Bible before. Let's go to Exodus 17, verse number 1. Are you all okay this evening? Exodus 17, verse number 1. Don't worry, we're going to worship at the end of the service today. Okay? But you see, the word has an ability to do something to you that will cause your worship to be different at the end of the sermon than what it would have been like before the sermon. But it'll still be your choice. Exodus 17, verse number 1. You see, what's happened is the Israelites have come out of Egypt. And they're in the wilderness. Watch this. The entire Israelite community left the wilderness of Sin, moving from one place to the next according to the Lord's command. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. I want you to just think about what we've been talking about, water. And the Bible says that, listen, God has brought them to this place. And what you need to understand is up until this place, a lot has happened to these children of Israel. What's happened is God has delivered them. God has set them free. He's begun to provide for them already. There's been miracle after miracle. Their enemies have been destroyed. The sea has been parted. Deliverance took place. The 10 plagues. I mean, you can't even imagine what God has already done. How faithful He has been. What a good shepherd He has already been to these people. And they get to this place and they're upset because they have no water. So the people complain to Moses, verse number 2. So the people complain to Moses, "Give us water to drink." "Why are you complaining to me?" Moses replied to them. "Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people thirst there for water and grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you ever bring us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out and said, "What should I do with these people? In a little while they will stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take the staff you struck the Nile with in your hand and go. I am going to stand there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. When you hit the rock, water will come out of it and the people will drink." And Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he named the place Massa and Meribah. And that's where we read in that psalm where these Israelites, where their heart had become hard at this place. And look at what it says. "Because the Israelites complained, and because they tested the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord not among us? Is the Lord among us or not?'" What? "Is the Lord among us or not? Who is it that sent the 10 plagues? Who is it that delivered you out of the land of Egypt? Who is it that parted the Red Sea? Who is it that delivered you, that saved you, that walked with you? Who is it?" But you see, what happens is they're in this place. And you see, the promise in the scripture says that if anyone thirsts, they can come to Jesus and He will fill them. The matter, God was going to give them water, but they began to complain because all of a sudden their need, what they wanted to experience, wasn't being met. You see, we can't worship God based on how we feel. We can't worship God with our needs. Because what will happen is if we don't get fed, our hearts might begin to get changed. Our hearts might begin to get hard because we haven't seen the latest miracle. We haven't had another breakthrough. We haven't had another encounter. God hasn't responded the way we expect Him to. We haven't received the water we want right now. And the question is the most astounding thing. Put that last verse up for me, please. "Is the Lord among us or not?" You see, that's exactly how a worship service can go. We can come and stand here and begin to worship God. And one of us will be standing here going, "Father, I thank You for the deliverance and for the salvation, for what You have done, Lord. I thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy," and we begin to worship. some of us will stand here and go, oh, you know, the drummer's a little bit off. Oh, no, that voice, that singer, you know, don't know about all that. There's no anointing there, you know. I need to go and experience worship somewhere else. No, 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 no. You need to come and worship Him. You see, it's not about the experience. It's about your heart. You see, if we come and we begin to worship Him and we begin to cry out to Him, listen, you can have, and please, this will never happen, okay? We can have a group of tambourinists, okay? And they can be praying and they can be even be out of tune, but if the heart is right and the people in the congregation begin to respond, God help you if you bring a tambourine to this church, okay? Just letting you know, okay? Me and the Lord made a deal about that long time ago. Okay. See, people are even getting upset with that. Okay. All right. It's okay. Tambourines are now guitars. Amen. Okay. You can play a tambourine at home. Just not. What happens is, guys, when the guy plays the tambourine, is it's like they're like, they try and like be in between the beat, and it's just very distracting. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Okay. All right. So if that's the case, and we understand that our attitude towards worship needs to be different. You see, worship is not an experience, it's something that we do. What is worship and why do we worship God? I had a look at some commentary definitions and I thought some of them were really beautiful. It says this, worship is this. Worship is the awed response to the saving act and praiseworthy character of God. Worship is an expression of reverence and adoration to God. The act of humans expressing homage to God. I love that. You see, worship is adoration. Worship is thanksgiving. Worship is offering. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about, you know, you can do that too, but I'm talking about just offering, just coming before Him and becoming an offering and offering your life and sacrifices and coming before the Lord, making vows and coming before Him and crying out to Him. Worship is bowing the knee. Worship is lying prostrate. Some people lie prostrate when they worship. Worship is lifting your hands, singing. Worship can be singing. Worship is our response to God. Not what God can do for us, but who He is. You see, the Israelites asked a question. Is He with us or not? Are you kidding me? Are you with me, guys? You see, it's very important for us that our hearts are right, that we don't have that attitude of the experience, coming for the experience. Listen, again, I need to make sure that I'm clear in this because there needs to be a balance. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, come. He said to the woman at the well that you're going to have this living water. You're going to be able to experience the presence of God. You're going to have the Lord actually living inside of you. Worship is going to be something that you can experience all the time and experience God's presence. But don't go for the experience only. Go and worship God, or come and worship God because of who He is. Don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget what He saved you out of. Don't forget what He's done for you. I was thinking about it because, you know, you read the commentaries and some of them talk about, you know, we need to have a look at what, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done from the beginning of Genesis, all the way to what He will continue to do, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. But don't forget what He's done for you. Because your testimony is powerful when you begin to remember what God has done. And so I'm hoping that our perspective and our attitude and approach to worship will be a little different. Instead of waiting for that right chord or that right note so that we can experience it and now begin to worship, let's begin our worship by coming before Him with such gratitude, with such an intentionalness in our hearts. You know, we should come to church with this urgency to come together, because now we're going to gather as the saints. And in one accord, we can lift our voices to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who protects us, the one who provides for us, the one who loves us, the one who blesses us, the one who is and was and is to come. He is amazing. And we should come with that attitude, with that heart, to seek Him with everything inside of us, regardless of goosebumps or not. And let me tell you something, when you come and worship Him just because of who He is, trust me, He'll show up. He'll show up. But even if He doesn't in the way you expect, know that the water will still be provided. Know that the water is your promise. But don't let your heart get to that place where what you end up doing is chasing a worship experience. Chasing an experience. If there's no experience in your life, there's only one person to blame.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.